Does it ever seem like that you are more sensitive to fear than you are to faith? You know what the Bible would describe that as? Is a hardened heart. And that's what we're talking about today. I think this is really going to help you, so stay tuned for the Gospel Truth.
Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Wednesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. So I've been talking about a hardened heart and what it is, and I've used Mark chapter 6, and we talked from Mark 6, 51 and 52, and then we've also been in Mark chapter 8, and in verse 17. And in verse 17, Jesus gave two symptoms of a hardened heart. The first one was that you aren't able to perceive. You just don't even see things about God. Your spiritual perception is limited. If that's true, then you have a hardened heart. The second thing is that even if you see something and have somebody try and explain it to you, you just can't understand it. It seems like you don't have the aptitude for it. That's the condition of a hardened heart. That's a symptom of a hardened heart. The next thing it says in verse 18, it says, having eyes, see ye not, and having ears, hear ye not, and do ye not remember. Now in verse 18, he says, having eyes, see ye not. You know, Jesus made statements like this when he was here on the earth and teaching in his physical body. He would say, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Did you know every single person, every person in that crowd had ears on their head, but they didn't hear with their heart? In other words, there is a difference between just hearing a sound and perceiving what that sound is, understanding it, taking that knowledge and applying it and stuff like this. You know, I could give you a lot of examples of this, but look at this passage. I'm going to come back to Mark chapter 8, but look in Proverbs chapter 4 at this passage. In Proverbs chapter 4, it says, here's the verse I was after, Proverbs 4:20. It says, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Now, what does that mean? When it says incline your ear, is that talking about tilting your head at a certain angle? That's not what it's talking about. The very context of this, look at this again. In verse 20 it says, my son, attend unto my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. What he's talking about here is that you can sensitize your hearing to where you hear God speak to you. If you take this in its context, that's exactly what he's talking about. Don't let these sayings depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. It's talking about just staying focused on the things of God. And as you focus on the things of God, did you know that you can actually sensitize your hearing to where you can hear God when other people can't hear God? And that's what Jesus was talking about over in Mark chapter 8, verse 18, where it says, having eyes, see ye not, and having ears, hear ye not. Every person has ears, but, you know, you can either get to where you hear what's going on in the natural realm, or you hear what's going on in the spiritual realm. You can get to where you see what's going on in the natural realm, or to where you see what goes on in the spiritual realm. You have an ability to see and hear things beyond just this physical realm. You can see into the spiritual realm. You can have spiritual perception and understanding. You can have spiritual hearing. You know, even in just the natural realm, let me give you this illustration. When I was in Vietnam, I lived on a fire support base, which was a remote military installation way out in the field that gave support to the troops that were out in the jungle area and things like this. And we had mortars and 155s and different, armaments that when the troops got under attack, we would fire from our fire support base as support for them out in the field. So anyway, we were on top of a mountain And we had all of these armaments. Because of that, we had a generator going that was just right up behind the bunker that I slept in. And any time of the day or night, mortars would go off. We had incoming mortars and outgoing mortars. We had what they called a 105 recoilless. Maybe it was recoilless 105, I forget. And then we had 50 caliber machine guns and all kinds of things. And so we had all of this armament there, and we would be giving fire support to the troops in the field day or night. And I mean, it was just a constant roar of this generator, incoming, outgoing mortars. When that 105 or 155 recoilless went off, everything in my bunker that I had up on a shelf or anything, it would all fall on the floor. I mean, it was deafening, and the percussion from that it was just amazing. And so all of these noises were going off constantly. And here's my point, that because it was normal, you know what I did? I tuned those sounds out. Or the scriptural terminology here would be that I just hardened my heart towards it. I desensitized myself. I got to where that, you know, these rounds would go off, all of these loud explosions, and I could sleep through the whole thing. As a matter of fact, one time we had a UE helicopter, a U.S. friendly UE helicopter, asked for grid coordinates to practice shooting. And anyway, they gave them the wrong grid coordinates. It was a mistake. And by accident, that UE Cobra came through our base and unleashed some of his firepower. And he had 55 caliber rounds that came right through my bunker within inches of where I was sleeping, right beside my bed. And in the morning when I woke up, the chaplain was just all beside himself. I was a chaplain's assistant, and I lived in the bunker with the chaplain. And the chaplain was just beside himself talking about how that we nearly got killed. And I said, "What do you mean? I didn't hear a thing." And he says, "You didn't wake up when we were attacked?" And he had to tell me about it. And I looked, and I could see where these bullet holes had gone through about a foot worth of sand and about a foot worth of timbers and gone through all of that and straight through the floor. And I dug down into the, took the flooring off and dug down into the dirt. I never did find those rounds. That's how powerful it was. And it came right through our bunker. And you know what? I slept through the whole thing. There was another instance where I pulled bunker guard on this bunker that we call bunker number one. And it was like a remote bunker. It was not exactly inside the perimeter. It was like an outpost, and it was kind of a dangerous thing. And there was four of us down there. And I pulled the first bunker guard, and there was a guy that sat up on top of the bunker with me. The other two were down inside asleep, and we were on bunker guard. And I tried to talk to him, and I asked him what his name was, and he said, 40 days. And I said, "Well, is that how long you've been in Vietnam?" And he said, 40 days. I said, "Well, is that how long you've got to go?" He said, 40 days. Turned out he was Puerto Rican. He didn't speak any English, and he had been drafted and sent over there. And so anyway, I couldn't carry on a conversation with the guy. I just pulled my bunker guard, and after I got through, it was his turn. And so he stayed up on top. I went down into the bunker and went to sleep. And I woke up about 5 o'clock or so. You're supposed to pull bunker guard until 6 a.m. I woke up while it was still dark. And the two guys that were supposed to be down inside the bunker weren't there. So I went on up on top of the bunker, and nobody was there. Nobody was around. There was nobody there. So anyway, I stayed until 6 o'clock. And at 6 o'clock, I was headed back up the hill towards my normal bunker. And I had people meet me and say, "Are you all right? Did you get hurt?" And I said, "I'm fine. What happened?" And it turned out that this Puerto Rican was crazy. And when he got on bunker guard, he blew off all of the Claymore mines around that bunker, which if any of you were ever in Vietnam or have ever been around a Claymore mine, when those things go off, it'll bounce you that high off the ground. It is deafening in the shockwave from that is just amazing. He blew off all the Claymore mines. He threw every hand grenade we had. He shot all of our M79 grenades. He shot all of his M16 rounds up the hill towards the United States troops and everything. And they were ready to blow this guy away because he just lost it somehow or another. But they knew that I was still down there. The other two guys had escaped and run up the hill, but I was still down there. And so because of that, they just let him blow up all of this stuff. And in the morning, I had to be told about it. My point is that, you know what? I got to where I could tune things out. I heard the noises. I wasn't deaf, but they were just normal. And so I didn't respond to them. In a sense, in the scriptural sense of this word, I hardened myself so that I heard, but I didn't hear. And you know what? That's what the Bible is talking about. You can get to where that God speaks to you, but you can't perceive it. You can't understand it. You have eyes to see, but you can't see. You have ears, but you can't hear. And this isn't limited to just something in combat. You do the same thing. Some of you live on a busy city street. When you first moved there, the traffic kept you up at night. But you know what? After a while, you become accustomed to it. You can get to where a train goes behind your house, and after a period of time, you get to where you don't even hear it anymore. You can desensitize yourself, but all your baby's got to do is just cough one time, cry one time, and boom, instantly like that, you're awake. You know what? You can tune your heart to where it is sensitive to certain things and insensitive to other things. And the sad fact is we have tuned our heart to be sensitive to all of the fear and the unbelief and the junk of this world and insensitive to God. That's what the Bible calls a hardened heart. You know, I'm out of time today, but we will continue this on our program tomorrow, and I encourage you to listen in, and I also encourage you to get these materials. I think they'd really help you, so listen as our announcer gives you that information.
Be sure to tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on hardness of heart. Andrew's classic teaching is available as a 4-part CD series or as a book. Request album R1003 or book number R303 when you make a donation of any amount to Andrew Womack Ministries. The first CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request RK57 titled The Crisis when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Or you can use the speed and convenience of credit card to make a donation by telephone. Call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. Remember, your donations to this ministry keep Gospel Truth on this station Monday through Friday. We hope to hear from you today.
You know, a number of months ago, we introduced the Andrew Womack Living Commentary. This is a Bible program where you get three versions of the Bible, four Bible dictionaries, study helps, maps, Greek and Hebrew words defined, and my footnotes on like 12,000 verses in the Bible. And the reason that I call it a living commentary is because it's still coming out. And there are updates every month. Up to 400 verses of new footnotes every month. And so I advertised that a number of months ago, and we've had thousands of people take advantage of that. I decided to take these updates that we were charging for, the monthly updates, and we've now made them available free. So this has really increased the benefit of this program. And I encourage you to call and request information about the Andrew Womack Living Commentary.
To all the partners of Andrew Womack Ministries, we say thank you for your faithful support. And we want to remind you that you share in the rich rewards of seeing lives transformed by the power of the good news.